Of Power on Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Taylor, and with me, as always, is one of my co-hosts, Sushi. How you doing, Sushi?
I'm doing pretty well. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. A little, I think allergies are starting to kick in. So
once again,
yeah, it got cold, and then it started to warm up again, and just. But I'm doing all right. Other than that,
that's good. How about we find out how our other host is doing?
Yeah, other co-host there, Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Had a bit of a rough week, but just slowly winding down, so.
It's all good. Can't always have good weeks all the time. That's no. For sure.
No, that's for sure. But usually you have cruising weeks, and you have really good weeks, and then you had the week I had. But you know, you're just going to make the best of what happens the days after.
Exactly. But I don't feel like introducing this topic because Sushi had to push it on me. But joking aside, I think Sushi, you should actually introduce this thing. This was your idea.
All right. So today we will be discussing in full detail the movie Birdemic, which is a great film. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks wonderful. The trailer is captivating. But no, today's real topic is the topic of video game birds. I don't know why I really wanted to do this topic for a while. I guess it's something different. And I was inspired for this topic from one of Taylor's videos from a long time ago. And that was his, I believe it was top 10 trees.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that correct?
Top,
yeah, it was something like that. Something like that. So
well, this is very symbolic because they live in trees. So.
Actually, I just wanted to hear Sushi say that I inspire him in some facet of life. So,
yeah, it's usually when I'm sitting on the toilet watching the videos on my phone. But
that's how you watch YouTube videos in style.
Yes, I have a padded toilet seat and everything.
Ooh. Yeah.
Do you have like the bar on the side of the wall so you can get up?
No, it's got all the options on the side, though, like all the Japanese toilets, so you can keep it heated, and you can have the courtesy flush sound. And
yeah, mine doesn't have that. I have just a normal toilet. Sorry to disappoint. Yep, no bidet, heat seat action.
Heat sensors.
Yeah, with mine. No fancy... little
fancy pants.
Let's make some sound while this person's farting out of tune.
That's ridiculous. That whole toilet thing with like courtesy flushing. Like you don't want to hear somebody farting, so they push like the flush sound and stuff. Oh, it's so stupid. Supposedly, mostly in women's bathrooms, from what I understand. But men are just like whatever. Like, men don't care, right? Men do not care. But let's get on to birds. Looking forward to this one. This should be a very interesting topic.
Well, just before we start, it's a really cool topic because it's my favorite species of animal. So I've actually owned a lot of birds in my life. I really like them. Just really cool. Just because as I mentioned like a while ago when I was a guest on here, I talked about how I love cities in the sky. Well, that's another reason. It's because of birds, you know, creatures that roam around in the sky. Because I like the sky. I don't like the ocean, but I like the sky, so... There's something about birds able to fly high that's just really cool.
Well, then this is tailor-made for you, Greg.
It is. Snug fit.
Oh. Keeps your aerodynamics going, right? So it's got to be nice and tight.
Nice and tight. Feel the breeze. All righty. With that in mind, who wants to start?
Well, I guess you should probably start, Greg. You're kind of... taking the reins as it is, saying it's your kind of motif, so why don't you go for it?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to start with something that's a little out of left field and sort of connects to the very first video I've done on YouTube, is the beginning of Landstalker. you actually ride a giant eagle going to Makeda Island. And for someone who was playing that at 8 years old, I thought that was one of the best graphics I've seen at the time about the end of 993. Just the animation of that eagle soaring and Nigel just standing like a dummy on the bird stiffly. You know, it was just really cool to look at. And when it's funny, when I was considering the list, that was one that stand out. The first one was just a really good looking giant bird, giant eagle, you know, on the Mega Drive. Even though it is a very, very, very small part of the game in the intro, I thought it's probably one of the best ways you can introduce a character on the back of a giant eagle. And that's pretty much it. There wasn't anything more to it,
It's just a
but
cool
it,
looking bird.
I just thought I'd say because it's a little bit out of left field. I just it came out, you know, just like, hey, that's true. It does have a bird. And he's
Now, I bet,
awesome.
Greg, I bet you were completely enthralled and thought this was going to be the coolest game you've ever played in your entire life. And then you got to the green maze.
The green maze is
Dreaded
very
green maze.
well, to be honest, that's not the worst part of the game. There was this one puzzle to get the magic sword. That took was that for some odd reason that took a month for me. For some odd reason. And I was oh man, that brings back some awful memories. You know, but I actually hear some of the stories of people getting stuck on Landstalker back in the day in one area or another. So I'm not surprised that you come out with Green Maze of all places.
Green Maze was one of the ones I remember people always talking about being really tough. I really didn't mind that part. I didn't like it's later on in the game. It's actually in the intro too. It's that stupid part with those platforms that are moving, and then there's those giant spiked balls. I really hate that part. That part's really tough.
I know a lot of people rage at Murr's Tower because there's a lot of things that will throw you back down to square one.
Right.
And yeah, a lot of people lose it there. But yeah, this is Landstalker's a wonderful game, and there is one or two places that will tear your hair out, especially the final dungeon.
Yeah. It's a good game, though.
No, the best, one of the best. You know, I highly encourage everyone to play it. It was enough for me to get me on YouTube, so. Alrighty, who is next? Sushi.
All right. So I told both of you, I figured I know what was the first one you guys were going to come up with, and then you guys both decided to change that right away after I said that.
What?
But.
No, not even. Don't even. I didn't even tell you what my first one was that I picked. Jerk.
You're really uppity today, aren't you?
Putting words in my
Who
mouth.
peed in your cereal this
You
morning?
did. By saying you knew which one I was going to pick first.
Anyways, I don't want to call both of them out since Taylor's having a bad day, but no, in all seriousness, the one I'll go with is one that I figured Greg would have very high on his list, and that would be Peter from Shining Force 2.
I put down Shining Force 2, and that's it, because there's so many bird-like creatures in that
There's a
game.
lot, yeah. There's
I
a
didn't even
lot.
put them on the list. I have not played Shining Force 2 since I was a kid, and no, I do remember the Birdmen. I do not quite remember. I remember the two from one, the husband and wife, Amon and Balboroi. I remember them, but they weren't very good.
It's
No, they
funny. I'm the opposite. I remember all the birds from two, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I
Well, yeah,
remember
I
half and
played it
half.
because you got Luke, who's the bird prince, and then you
Luke and
got
Screech was who's weird.
Screech. Screech was the weirdest one because you had to save him as a little baby, and then just out of nowhere he flies to you and Tristan, and it's just like, oh, so that's what happened, and that's totally optional. You know, the game doesn't force you to do that,
Well,
which
you
is
have to
kind of
know
nice.
to do that, though, right? It's kind of out of place where you have to walk between those bushes to know that that's where he's going to fall down.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It was just intricate, you
Pretty
know, to those
random.
people, you know, and my brother and I was one of those gamers that would walk everywhere. It's like, oh, there's a bush here. I wonder if something's here. Oh, triggered cutscene. Yeah, you know, that's how we came across it. Before the age of game facts.
But I'm sorry to disappoint you, Sushi. I did not have Peter on here at all.
That's all right. No, I don't really like the birds in the first game. As you said, they're not particularly useful. They're blue was okay in the first game, and then Domingo is really good, but the birds themselves were not very good. But Peter in the second game is far and away one of the best characters, at least in the top five. He's really powerful. Like, he's got really good attacks. He can fly, obviously. He's got decent defense, lots of hit points. And if he dies in battle, you never have to worry about reviving him. He always gets instantly revived. And he looks really butt ugly at first. He just looks like a flying chicken or something at first, right? And then
what's funny how they went about that is in his phoenix form is you couldn't control him. And it used to be a big pain in the ass when you're trying to distribute certain kills to certain characters to get EXP. And he would just fly over and take your kills.
That's right.
And used to annoy the shit out of you. But it made up for it when you actually got control of him and he got promoted and he turned out to be one of the most powerful characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Capable of flying anywhere, dealing out, insane damage. So,
right.
Yeah.
Cool looking attack. He throws like the tornado.
Yes, and he just looks cool in his phoenix form, the multicolored phoenix. Not red, which is different for once, because most phoenixes are all red, yellows, and oranges. And he was more blues, greens, and just the colors of the rainbow. It looked really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I really like Screech as well, though. I really like Screech. I hated Luke.
The other thing I mentioned in the other sort of the bird god Volcanion, he's not a playable character, but Jesus, just looking at him in the game, just his stone statue was so cool.
Pretty cool, but then he doesn't do anything and he complains and then he just leaves. So.
Yeah, he chastises you and tells you where to go.
Yeah, I know we talked about this before, actually. I think on the Kingdoms episode, I think we mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Peter. Peter's a really cool bird. Useful, very helpful on the team. And as you said, Greg, really cool look, too.
I just think we can just nail on the bud that there's a lot of birds and bird-like creatures in the Shining Force series.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the main aesthetics that has never changed ever since the series even changed hands. So,
for sure. So, why don't you throw back to you there, Taylor?
Okay, well, I'll go with the one that I thought you were thinking of, that you thought that I had, and that was the owl from the Zelda series.
Yes, sir.
And not the Ilorgirian one.
The one owl,
For 10 points, what is the name of the owl? Because he's on my list, too.
Like
Which one?
Or something like
wait. In Link's Awakening?
Ocarina of Time.
In Link's Awakening, he's just called
Link's
Owl.
Awakening, he's called Owl. He has a Japanese name, but he has no name.
The Japanese name is just Owl.
Okay, so he's still just Owl.
Well, his name is Kaipora Gabora.
Which one?
The owl out of Ocarina of Time.
They're not the same owl, though.
Right.
They're completely different owls.
I'm pretty sure that they are.
That they're the same or that they're different?
Well, in Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. I know there's other
those ones
owl.
Maybe are, but not the one in Link's Awakening.
Oh, not in Link's Awakening, no.
No,
yeah, no see, yeah, I'm talking the Link's Awakening one, because the one in Ocarina was annoying. The only thing that was good about him was being able to go down Death Mountain. And any other time that you found him, he had to run his little beak off, and he would just. And then when he'd get done talking, he's like, "Did you understand that?" And of course, the first option is no.
No.
And you're just hitting through it, and you have to cycle through the whole damn thing again. Not him, the other owl, the owl from Link's Awakening, because he doesn't run his mouth. And I like owls. I think owls are pretty cool, but they're also kind of creepy in a way. But.
They're always the wise ones. I really like that everyone associates wiseness, the wise with the owls, because it just suits them.
Death. I don't know where this plays from, but death. You got African cultures, and then you have the Native Americans. They have a saying about when the owl cries, somebody dies. Owls are also a symbol of death, so that makes them spooky and cool.
Yeah, well, most people think of ravens.
Of birds, though. Yeah, vultures, like,
It's not just that, but I'm saying that owls also have a connotation of death. A lot of symbolism goes to death with owls for one reason or another.
Those big eyes.
Probably. They're pretty creepy.
Yes, it's your soul.
They're poltergeist-like spinning head. Yeah, maybe.
That does help, too. Vomit flying everywhere.
But yeah, no, I don't know if you guys had the owl on the list there, at least the Link's Awakening one.
Yeah, of course I did. I mean,
I thought might have, but I don't know. I liked not so much in Ocarina because of that whole dialogue bit, but at least in Link's Awakening, it was kind of like, I don't know how to put it. It was like the window Link needed in the game. So if that makes any sense.
For Link's Awakening?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he is the one telling the story, essentially.
Right.
All in clues and sort of riddles, just all kinds of riddles.
Right, and yeah. It alludes to the goings-on of, what is it, Koholint Island? Something.
Right, right.
Right, so, yeah. So that's mine. So, Greg, over to you.
Well, with your permission, good sirs, I think I'll just run off all the list of other birds in Zelda games, because there's actually a few. So sure. I'll do this reasonably quick, because
okay.
I have a little mini list here. As Taylor recovered the owl from Link's Awakening, and I quickly covered the owl from Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and apparently he was in Four Swords in a very other capacity. But unfortunately, that's one of the few Zelda games that I haven't really touched upon, so I can't really say. But quickly, the other birds in the Zelda series, like the recent one, of course, is the Crimson Loftwing that you ride in Skyward Sword. Very cool bird. A lot of people probably pulled out their hairs trying to control him for the first time. But very cool. You also got the hawk from Twilight Princess. You need to blow on the hawk grass to summon it. You've also got the Helmerock King, who is one of the more cooler bosses from Zelda the Wind Waker, you know, Ganon's pet bird. And then you have Medi from Wind Waker, and that's just the entire bird tribe, which is pretty cool. And then you got the duck from Link to the Past. You had to summon the flute.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, lastly, it couldn't be a Zelda game without the good old cuckoos.
Right. Yeah, there is one you're missing, though, Greg. It's also from Link's Awakening. Oh, Taylor, you know what I'm talking about?
Is that the giant ostrich type one? Or?
Is it the rock? Or is it,
the one that's at the top of that castle.
Right, that you're fighting a boss.
Right, you have the giant shield, and you have to block his wind. I can't remember the name of the boss exactly, but he's this giant bird, and he flies at you, and he tries to claw you down. And
right,
stuff.
And it's a cool fight.
Really cool battle, yeah.
You're on,
yeah.
on top, and if you fall
top
off,
of the yeah, you climb your way back up.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name of that is.
But, I don't remember his name, but he's huge. Like, for a Game Boy game, he's really big.
But the good old cuckoos, if you stab them three times, well, they're more powerful than Ganon.
But it's
man,
so much fun.
It was the most amusing thing I ever saw. I mean, I got a game over, but I was laughing my ass off, so.
Death by bird.
Death by chicken. And you just someone have to eat in KFC just seeing that, just like thing twice. So yeah, I just thought, you know, and apparently in Zelda Spirit Tracks there is a song of birds to some of them, so that's I know, pretty cool to just bring up.
It's interesting.
And they also had those, what was the bird like people in
Wind Waker.
Yeah, what were they called? Dragon's Roost.
Yeah, Dragon's Roost.
Because that had such an amazing song. Like, I didn't like Wind Waker, and I don't remember too much about it, but that song is so damn good.
I like Wind Waker, but yeah, Dragon's Roost theme is really good. And yeah, that's just my very small Zelda list. I thought we'd get it off there. Because it's one of the more prominent with birds out of all the game series.
Yeah. So. That's a good list, man.
Yeah.
So, back over to Sushi.
I'm going to bring up one here that I don't know if you guys are familiar with. It is Ku the Owl from Kirby's Dream Land 2.
Nope.
No, finally, something that's not on my list.
Okay, so from Kirby's Dream Land 2 is the first game in this series that introduced the sort of helper animals that Kirby can ride on. There was like a hamster. Ku is the owl, and I forget the third one, because I don't like the other ones at all. So I only like using Ku because Ku has this ability. If you can get the parasol and use him with it, he has this sort of spin move that makes him invulnerable to any attacks, which is, it just totally makes the game completely easy. He just flies around and he bashes into stuff in this move. And it still makes the game fun, though. He's got a lot of different unique abilities. Like if you get fire with him, Kirby turns into this sort of fireball, and Ku kind of has him strike downwards with it. It's kind of a neat attack. And I don't know, Ku is a really interesting character. He does appear in Kirby's Dream Land 3 as well on the SNES, but he's a little bit toned down. He's definitely not as dominant as he is in the second game on the Game Boy. But yeah, just really cool idea to have this sort of giant owl that carries Kirby around, and Kirby does attacks with him and stuff. I think he's really useful. He also has another attack where it's like a, I think it's the boomerang that Kirby eats or something, and he can throw feathers at things and break walls and stuff. And that's really neat design and really helpful in the game a lot. Ku the owl from Kirby's Dream Land 2. If you guys pick up the Kirby's 25th Anniversary Collection, the game's on there, and it's pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I had something to say, but I don't. I'm one of those guys that just Kirby just went right past my gaming years. So. Yeah.
Kirby's always on the wayside sort of for Nintendo, right? He's a big seller, but it just seems like once kids get out of a certain age, you just don't really have interest in Kirby anymore.
Mm. Kirby stole Lo-Lo-Lo and La-La-La from me.
Yeah, whatever.
Thief.
Kirby's still awesome. I like Lo-Lo and La-La, but whatever.
I know, I'm just... That's actually... I know that's kind of... I didn't really get into Kirby as much, but like The Adventures of Lo-Lo,
yeah.
I got more so into, so...
If anything now, Taylor, he's the one that's keeping them alive, though, right?
But as bad guys, Jesus.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, yeah, they wouldn't be around, though, without the Kirby franchise,
right.
Unfortunately. So.
Yeah.
Who knows? They might make a new game with them. That'd be kind of neat, but I don't see Nintendo kind of being like, yeah, that's a viable option for us. Probably.
Sadness. Okay. Yeah. It's back over to me, and this one, yes. Greg, you may have, I don't know, maybe not. I don't think you will have this one at all, Sushi. And yeah. That is... I don't know what they call the bird in the English version, but it's Jeek, the white falcon from the Sword of Nokisuki or Trails in the Sky.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty much the same name.
Okay, all right. Well, wait. It's a white falcon. I'm not going to do too horribly much explanation for it, but it's a kind of I don't want to say it's a friend. It's a friend of one of the characters, and it had the bird. Even though all it says, at least in the Japanese one, is pew 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 pew. It has its own kind of character to it, which is really nice. However, there is this amazing move in the first game that gets nerfed in the other two games of the Trails in the Sky SC in the third, and it's the skill that's this bird's involved in called they call it Kempua, and what it does is that it. You do this at the skill, and it drops the enemy's, if they're vulnerable to it, but it drops the enemy's strength and defense by 50%. And it is so easy to just kind of abuse that in the game and just wreak havoc throughout the game when this character is available with the skill, with this lovely white falcon bird, Jeek. And unfortunately, like I said, it gets nerfed a little bit in the game, in SC and the third, but it's kind of cool that you have this bird in the game, and of course all the other characters that you have are people, but this bird still, you can kind of get some sort of personality out of it. They personified the bird fairly well for all it going pew pew star pew pew heart pew pew flutter away. So
it helps the fact that Zeke's owner is, you know, Chloe. She's pretty cool as well.
Well, I was trying to keep that secret. And then that, plus they changed the name anyway, so Close. Yeah. So it's kind of a little different. So, but yeah, so it's just, I don't know. I'd like to definitely.
He's a cool design. I can understand that.
Mm. kind of, yeah, White Falcon. Shabam.
Shabam. Oh, one of the best series.
So, yeah, that was one I had there. I guess over to you, Greg.
Okay, I know it's not good to give spoilers in most regards, but with some games, sometimes it might be the defining moment for someone to get interested in a game. And I really have to talk about the scene in which this happens because it does have a prominent effect in the story. And this is in Breath of Fire 2. Now, this scene is very, very powerful. Is in the Breath of Fire series, the princesses of Windia, essentially, but many people associate them with being angels, but they're actually, you know, from the Burn Genesis. And in Breath of Fire 2, there comes a time where they need to call upon the power of the Great Bird to fly them against the villain. And basically, the drawback is whoever gets the turn of this burn form can never, ever regain their human form. And of course, Mina, one of the characters in your party, decides that she's going to do it and sacrifice herself. But what ends up happening is her younger sister, Mina, basically grabs the item in question, locks herself in the tower, and goes through the ritual, sacrificing herself for her sister. And back then, I think I must have been about 10 when I played Breath of Fire 2, I thought that was incredibly powerful to see that scene. And you use her for the rest of the game flying. And it's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a bit of a spoiler, but I thought that'd be an interesting topic to bring up, you know, and how the person becomes the bird in question. It's really sad. And of course, Breath of Fire is an awesome series that should return Capcom. I know you got so many people tugging your heels about Mega Man, but this is one person ever since 2002 that's just nipping at your heels about Breath of Fire.
Yeah, it gives a bit of a tinge of sadness to Nina's character, and then having to use her, and you're just kind of like, oh, that's really, really. But it also gives that added oomph for that character to be fighting, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, just you see the respect and love she has for the sister that she'd rather sacrifice herself than to see Nina go through with it, you know. Mm. You know. No, it was just really good. I mean, Super Nintendo RPG, guys. Just really, really good.
That needs to work on its English a little bit, but...
No, a little bit.
Still great. It's an enjoyable game, so don't...
Yeah.
Did they fix it up for the GBA port?
I think they might not have, actually.
I haven't gotten the GBA version of so many times I could, but if I do get it in the future, I'll let you know.
I think it did, but...
I think you're right, Taylor. I don't think they did fix it. I think it was still a problem.
Goodness. But,
really, really crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Breath of Fire.
So awesome.
It's sort of a series I love to hate, though. Like, there's ups and downs about it that I like, and I love the idea of the animal sort of races and stuff in it, but there's just so many things about Breath of Fire I don't like as well, just... Whether it's just the constant grinding in the games or whatnot. So.
I like 3. There's a lot of different sort of things that you can do. Like collecting the gems was fantastic. I know. I was obsessed with collecting all the gems and having all the combinations for the dragon transformations.
Mm.
That's just something
I've heard a lot of people like 3. I hate 3. Like a lot. Really? I really hate 3. I don't like that so many of the characters just come in and out of the game, and you lose them permanently, and I didn't like 3.
I really like the characters in 3. There's a few, like, Momo's not too bad, but I never really used her. Like, I like Rei, Nina, and Ryu, and Gar. Gar is my favorite character in that game, because just his character and what happens to him, you know, it's just really, really, really good. But, I think for its time, it is a really good-looking PS1 RPG. See, the one that I have problems with is 4. There's so much to like in 4, but it suffers from a boring second act, unfortunately. Like, I remember the first part of the game and the last part of the game, but in the middle is just a blur, you know?
I've only played a bit of 4, so I can't really comment. But the graphics in 4 were gorgeous. I think four looks better than three. Three just looks like an upgrade of one and two, and then four actually looks like they tried something different.
In terms of actual graphics, yes. In terms of artwork, there's a few characters that I actually don't like. Like Ursula, she looks horrible, you know? And that other, the robot character doesn't look cool at all. Just, there's something about 4 in terms of the artwork that rubs me the wrong way, except for Fulu. He's pretty awesome. Yeah, I think we'll end with that and back over to Sushi.
Oh, is that my turn again? All right. So I've got other things here. Oh, well, I'll do this one. One of my favorite Mega Man games ever is Mega Man X. And one of my favorite robot masters ever is Storm Eagle. Storm Eagle, to me, is just an awesome-looking robot master. Great stage, great music. That was my favorite Mega Man song for the longest time. And even though he's pretty much the easiest boss to fight, I mean, most of the bosses in that game are you can pretty much beat with the Buster, no problem. But I don't care. I love the setup. As soon as you get up to his sort of air fortress that it sort of explodes on fire, and then he comes out and he flies across the screen and he tries to dive at you and everything. And I like the look of him. I like that he only has the one hand and he's got a Buster for the other hand. And he's got like this sort of helmet on his head. So he looks like he's skydiving sort of. I just heard a circle with a pencil on a table or a pen there, Taylor. So I presume you had Storm Eagle as well.
Oh yeah, yes I did.
And of course, if you listen to the Mega Man episode, nowhere near my list.
Storm Eagle is kind of what made me like the X series a bit more. His stage is really open.
Yeah.
And so it allows you to kind of fly through it really, really, really quickly. And there's lots of little neat secrets and stuff, because that's what kind of that stage first kind of with those oil tanks or whatever, you can blow them up with the
flame torch thing,
right? Yeah. And so if it was kind of the first stage to really get me into thinking of trying to find the secrets for the X game, and then it also just, as you said, the kind of the entrance into the quote-unquote boss lair on top of the aircraft, or is it on top of an aircraft?
It's like an aircraft, yeah.
Yeah, and so when it explodes and you're fighting him up there, and yeah, he's easy, but
he's pretty damn easy.
it's just really cool. It's out in the open, and before playing that stage in particular, I was really like, I was much more just like, oh, I like my blue bomber. I'll just stick to the blue bomber, and then I was like, oh, this is fun. Yeah, woo. So
yeah, it's a cool stage. I mean, it's a good first stage if you realize as a kid that was the first stage you're supposed to do. It's a really good sort of introduction stage. Mm-hmm. If you try to go to like Chill Penguin or something, it's a bit weird because you're like, well, what the hell? I can go back and forth now. But Storm Eagles doesn't really emphasize going back and forth. It emphasizes pretty much going straight forward the whole way. And then, as you said, you realize, oh, there are a few secrets here and there. And you start looking around for them. And I think there's three things hidden on that stage.
Isn't there like a heart piece right at the beginning?
There's a heart piece way on the far left corner. You have to jump off the top platform. There are the torch things you got to blow up for. What's inside there? Just a free life, I think. And then there's the body armor in there? No, the helmet is in there.
Is the helmet there? I thought the helmet was in the somewhere else.
The boots are on Chill Penguin stage. You pretty much automatically get those. I thought the helmet was there because you need to get the helmet, and then you get the helmet to go to Flame Mammoth stage, and you need to break those. That the part of the game I hate the most, where you have to break, it's got to be like perfect.
Yes, I
hate that part. And then you get up there, and then you get the double charge shot from up there, and then you get the body armor is on Sting Chameleon stage.
Okay, maybe I'm mixing.
I think
the two. I thought
I could be wrong, but
I thought the helmet was at Sting Chameleon's for some reason.
I always do Sting Chameleon last, so I don't recall getting the helmet that late in the game.
Then I'm mixing up the two.
But anyways, it doesn't really matter. Storm Eagle is awesome. Really cool character, great look, like just perfect design, pretty much. Greg, if you were going to play a Mega Man game, definitely try Mega Man X.
Yeah, good old 16-bit Super Nintendo entry. So, I probably will in the future if I get to that point where I want to play a Mega Man game.
Yeah. It's a lot more forgiving than the Blue Bomber series in a lot of ways, because you can do wall kicks, you can speed up by doing a dash.
Yeah, I think I saw footage of remember the footage of Mega Man X on various you know, we have a review show on Australia back in the day. I remember Mega Man X more than the Blue Bomber series, so yeah.
I see. So back over to me.
Yes.
Well, seeing Sushi took one of mine, I think I already took one. I'm going to take another one of Greg's, because this character has to be on your list, Greg. If not, yeah. I'm going to be very sad.
Go for it.
And it is T-Bone, Lagoon's King of the Hawks, who nerfs the game and makes Fire Emblem way too easy.
You can mention all the boar, yeah, all the birds and all the bird men in, you know, the Radiant series.
Right.
The bird Lasgus. You know, I nearly forgot that word. It's like, come on, Greg, you know the name. Yep, Lasgus. No, there's so many cool. Because you got Naysala, who's like the biggest prick ever.
I like Naysala, though.
But he's cool, but he's a prick.
He's not. It's not that he's a prick. He's trying to do the best for his country, even if it is at the cost of others. But he's trying to watch out for his country. I don't have an issue with that.
It's not an issue. It's just a character trait. I'm saying.
No, I don't see him as a prick for doing it. I see that. I'm like, okay, well, I see that he's trying to justify it by, you know, keeping his country going and everything. And I mean, what is it, Kilvas? I think that's not the the kingdom. I mean, you got a kingdom full of ravens. They're not quite as cool as the hawks. It's so he's got to do what he can, but he does help out the last few remaining Hurons there, or Herons.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
Okay. So, I don't know. Give Naysala a pass. He's a bro.
No, I reckon he's awesome. It's just, he's a prick.
But yeah, like T-Bone, he just he, you if you use him, there's really no point. He maybe a little bit in Radiant Dawn, he's not nearly as he's still damn good, but and especially in Path of Radiance, if you use him at the end of the game, it's pretty silly. It's
transform and destroy.
Yeah, it's kind of abusive how much you can just wreak havoc with just him going to town and stuff at the end of the game. But he's pretty awesome. I know that a lot of people really dislike him because he is awesome. His character, like, this is where I feel like Naysala is a little bit better, is because there's a bit more character, because T-Bone's one-dimensional, very headstrong.
Cut and dry. He's cut and dry.
I mean, he thinks about what he wants to do, but he's very... there's not much to him, so... But Naysala's got a lot more going for him in character department, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. And of course, the third one, Claire just touched upon very quickly, is the herons, which are pretty much like the cranes, like the extinct part of the bird Lasgus.
Right.
And I feel sorry for them because the pricks of the Senate just wants to hunt them for sport. Oh, that was one part of the game where I got really angry.
But it also kind of turns a little creepy with, what the hell's his name? Oliver? Is his name Oliver?
I can't remember, but
it's either Oliver or Olivier or something like that. He is that fat fuck.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I was hoping he'd be in a battle so I could target him. I had no hesitation to kill that.
Oh goodness! But Sushi, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I'm not even. I didn't even know there were any bird characters in Fire Emblem at all. And the ones I played don't hint at any of that stuff. You know, you get the Pegasus Knights and stuff, but that's it,
so. Right. They added those in for the Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, so
The one I haven't even opened yet, so
Greg, over to you.
Alrighty, now this is one I'm hoping Taylor has on his list, and this is a bit out of left field.
I might disappoint.
Very, very, very cool. As much as we've been talking about, like, gigantic birds and bird-like men. Let's just bring it back to the simple parrot. And I'm talking about the Enns parrot from Metal Gear Solid 3.
I have a parrot on my list, but not the Enns parrot. I'm sorry.
I thought it helped. It was connected to his character that there's this man over 100 years old who's a sniper that has a pet parrot and just looks cool. It's a cool character design. And what's even more funny is you can, if you're really, really skilled, you can kill him and eat him.
Monster.
As Snake would say, that's damn good. And apparently it's like a split second, so you have to be really damn good to actually shoot the thing. But no, it's a cool design aesthetic to have the parrot with this old man. I couldn't see him without the parrot. It's just really cool. Just stands out, especially since Metal Gear Solid 3 is very gray, olive and gray in the jungle, but that comes the territory of being a Metal Gear Solid game. So it's really nice to see a colorful creature like a parrot in the game. Would be the best way to describe it. Sort of stands out of the pack. So yeah, just one of the first ones that came to mind when I was thinking of birds. And I have to have a shout out to one of my favorite non-RPG series of all time. So yeah, anything to add to that?
That's definitely a good point to bring up. I honestly completely forgot about the parrot, but now that you mention it, doesn't he in one scene he doesn't he like feed the parrot?
Yeah.
He kind of like feeds it some things. I haven't played all the way through 3 in such a long time, and when I do start playing through it, I always stop after right after Ocelot pops in, and you have that scene with Ocelot and his cronies, and then I just shoot Ocelot. I'm like, okay, I've won.
And Snake lays down the law to a rookie.
After, for whatever reason, I get to that point, and then I just end up stopping playing three, and I completely had forgotten about the parrot.
Actually, now I'm drawing a blank. I said to you just then, yeah, he feeds it, but I actually can't remember. I'm assuming he does. I'll have to look into it again.
I thought he did in one of the scenes, but I could be wrong. But for whatever reason, my memory either is playing tricks on me or it's saying, hey.
It's half and half. I think he does, I think he doesn't. I can't remember the hand going out. That's the thing. So.
Well, Greg, there is only two options. He either does or he
Doesn't. So I'll have to check. I'll have to confirm this
doesn't. Sorry.
after the podcast, and there'll be a Facebook message. He does or he doesn't. Very simple. I should know this though. Oh, shit.
How about yourself, Sushi?
No, I still haven't played three, so I don't even know.
Okay.
I will say this now, dude. I remember going into free thinking, oh, the snake in the forest. I'm not convinced. And then I played it, and it turned out to be my favorite of the series back in the day. It's surprisingly really well written.
It's really good. I know we've kind of talked about it before, off the record and whatnot, but you really enjoy Bond movies as well, Sushi. I think you'll really like the heavy Bond motif that 3 offers.
Oh, yeah. As I've already said, there's no reason as to why I'm not playing three, just
Right.
in the sense that I
Yeah.
just don't own it, right? I just haven't
Yeah.
bought it. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Somebody hook Sushi up with 3.
And there's many ways: the original, the HD collection, or the 3DS version, which I kinda don't recommend.
The Vita HD or the PS3 HD. Yeah, or yeah, there's lots of ways. So
I mean, I might look into the HD on the PS3 or something, but I don't know. Just whenever I get a chance to getting around to it, I will.
yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's so for the sushi then.
Yep.
All right. I will say two words: Necky's nuts.
Well,
And over to you, Taylor.
I have another Donkey Kong Country bird, and it is Squawks the Parrot.
Oh yeah, I remember. He's a good one.
He's a good one if you embody the character, not the times when you're when like the Kongs are hanging on to him. Like in 3, they do a bit in 3 sometimes. But when you are simply just Squawks and you're able to spit out eggs or coconut nuts or whatever the hell he's choking up. He's so awesome. And you do get him in some of the Bramble stages, if I remember, in 2, and that helps tremendously.
Right, because he helps you glide down a lot easier.
Yeah. So even if you are having to hang on to him, it's, I don't know. The Bramble stages with Squawks aren't as much of a pain in the tail for me, but I've always liked Squawks. I'm not really a big fan of some of the others. Like, I'm not a big fan of Ungard. I don't like Ungard very much. The Swordfish.
Okay, yeah, he's all right, but
I don't like him very much.
He's all right. He is sometimes a pain to use, but I got used to him.
The reason why I don't like him is because you have to use him for a boss fight in 3. And that boss fight in 3, mind you, is still pretty easy, but just a pain in the ass. It's just... Ungard's kind of so-so with me. I like Rambi, but this is about birds.
Yeah.
So Squawks, Donkey Kong Country, he spits out eggs or
nuts or something. Something
kills those stupid buzz bees.
Yeah, damn bees, right?
Yeah. So that is mine. Over to you, Greg.
Alrighty. I think I'll talk about... Now, this is actually the first one I kind of had on my list, but I wanted to save him to the end or to the very near end, because I think in terms of my favorite birds in video games, this is the one that stands out the most. And as the god bird or the goddess bird, Infamia from Dragon Quest VIII, one of the coolest birds in the history of games. I mean, she offers a lot story-wise and gameplay-wise. I won't spoil it, unlike the other one, but I will say her theme is amazing. Her theme is amazing when you're in the air riding across the world, and she plays a pivotal part in the final battle. Just really, really well done. The design is well done. She glows a fluorescent blue. It just really well designed, just very memorable. That's all I can say. And just to say to Taylor, hurry up and play 8.
I'm kidding. 80 something hours in 7. I am still not done with 7. I have like 8. I swear to God, I have like 82 hours in Dragon Quest 7. I'm probably like 2/3 of the way through 7 right now. 8 can wait.
I know, I'm busting your balls because I know you don't like anyone to tell you what to play, so. But I thought I'd just say that to bust your balls.
I know. I'll get to it sometime this century after I beat 7.
Then you'll buy the 3DS version and you'll play 7 again.
No, that's what I'm playing, the 3DS version of 7.
Oh, you already are, okay.
Because I've never played 7 before either. So this is my first time actually through 7. Well, I played like 2 hours of it on the PS1 a long time ago, but this is actually first time really going through it. So
actually very, very quickly, I'm not too sure about Sushi, but very quickly just run off some memorable birds from Dragon Quest, because you have the griffin who's like, you know, the duck head with the sorry, that's not the griffin, that's the chimera. Yes, you have the one with the duck bill that breathes out fire. That's one of the more memorable Dragon Quest monsters.
Yeah, I don't really, outside of some of the classic Dragon Quest monsters or variations of them, I don't really remember them too much, because they have some really wonky designs.
Yeah. There's the big three-eyed griffin. I remember that because plays kind of mini bosses in 8, so.
they have this one, I can't remember exactly what it is. Some type of bird, and it's a pain in the ass because it flutters around and it looks obnoxious and it does stupid damage when you first encounter it. But I don't quite remember too horribly many birds from the Dragon Quest series.
It's mainly the Chimera. The Chimera for me is up there with the slime in terms of the face of Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that a bird though. I guess
I'd say it's a vulture.
I guess you could kind of say it's a bird.
Its main features is a bird, so I would give it.
But they call it a wyvern, though. It's a wyvern, I thought.
I think I'm thinking it was a chimera.
Well, maybe they call it a chimera. I thought.
Just, yeah, no, because yeah, when I remember I first it's like, hey, that's not a chimera. That's not, but it is for the Dragon Quest series, so yeah.
I think they also call it a wyvern, like a different color variation of it.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that when they change the color, so.
And that's the one I always remember, because if I remember correctly, you run across them in one, and they always, always, always decided that you wanted to die, and you proceeded to die, usually.
Ghost out the flames! No, thank you!
Well, yeah, no, yeah, they'd always, in one, they'd always do the stupid harm more spell, and you're
Yeah.
Damn it, these things need to go away forever. So, yeah, like the monsters that always stuck with me were Drakeys, slimes, ghosts, the golems.
I don't know, that fat dragon with the jar always standed out.
Fat dragon with
the jar. Yeah, the dinosaur-esque one with the big jar. I keep forgetting his name. Always stands out. And of course, you've got the hacksaws. Who is a big dragon with the battle axe?
Big dragon with the battle axe.
But we're talking about birds, not dragons. So. Yeah, getting a bit off topic.
I don't remember that, but oh well.
Anyway, starting to derail their sushi and back over to you.
That's all right. It's all right. So I've got only a handful left here. My next one's going to be a game that I'm not sure, again, if you guys are even aware of, but it is called New Zealand Story. Do you guys know this game?
It's on my list.
Nice, nice. So we got Tiki the Kiwi Bird. Taylor, yeah. Do you know New Zealand Story at all?
No, I do not.
Okay, it was an arcade game that came out in the 80s, and this is one of the first games I can remember seeing at a little local gas station convenience store. And I remember seeing, at the time, I presumed it was near the end of the game, and I saw this guy playing for what seemed like an hour. Was probably 10 minutes, right? As a kid, it seemed like time just flies by. But this guy, he rescued this other Kiwi bird, and it had like this big cut scene and everything. And I was like, man, this game looks awesome. And basically, you're just this little Kiwi bird that's kind of a little chubby, not even the color of a Kiwi bird. He's like a chubby chicken almost, like in his appearance. And he can shoot little arrows at all these bad creatures and stuff that come after him. And he's just this really cute little mascot. He's from Taito. Taito made him very similar to Bubble Bobble in a way. Not completely, but kind of like that a little bit. What do you got there, Greg, for Tiki?
Well, two words, Master System. It was actually, if I remember correctly, it's actually one of the last games I actually played in my Master System days. So that's why the New Zealand story always stood out to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird that after all this time, Ivy the Kiwi comes out on... oh, that's completely different. I can't remember why I linked the two together. I think I remember correctly when that game got announced. Oh, is this another New Zealand story game? But nah.
Now, there was one that came out on the DS. I bought that one. It's all right.
No, that's the game made by Yuji Naka, if I remember correctly.
Oh, you're talking about Ivy the Kiwi.
Ivy the Kiwi, yeah. I don't know why I've mixed them two up.
I haven't played Ivy the Kiwi, but I've heard that's pretty decent as well.
Yeah. No, New Zealand story, but yeah, New Zealand story is really, really good, as you said. Just a very simple design, but very effective.
Yeah.
Just really a really fun. Cool, really, really, really cool Master System game.
Yeah, it was... It was on the NES actually as well, and it was called Kiwi Craze for some reason. I don't know why they changed it, because in the arcade it was called New Zealand Story, and then for some odd reason when it came to the NES, I don't know if there was some sort of publishing problem maybe, or I'm not really sure, but yeah, New Zealand Story and Tiki the Kiwi Bird.
So yeah, back over to Taylor. Yeah.
I see. Back over to me. Okay. This one that I have here is The Crane, and it's a very generic name because I don't think it even has a name, but it's that damn crane from Yoshi's Island that wasn't doing its job trying to deliver Baby Mario and Baby Luigi.
I'm actually not surprised you brought him up.
Yes, if those cranes were doing the jobs, wouldn't had either of those babies with their lives endangered. So birds are bad. Moral of the story.
It was this conspiracy in Nintendo that didn't want to let players know what, their mother looks like.
She probably has a big mustache and
Oh,
So you're bringing dwarf logic into this
well, they'd have a
solution.
beard, not a mustache, so
Ah, same field, just a little bit higher. Long ago, I
just
should say.
so yeah, that was one that I had there. So just a little goofy one. That was one that was actually one of the first ones I thought of was the damn cranes. Come to mind. Ah, do your job.
Yep.
Over to you, Greg.
Okay, getting to sort of the bottom of the list of some interesting ones, I will say. Let's see. Okay, here's one out of left field that I will say. One of the first bosses in Persona 4 is Shadow Yukiko, and she takes the form of a bird, like a pinkish bird-like creature hanging from a cage, and it's very freaky looking. It really is. It's just something about that bird that's just really demented and freaky. Every time I, fight it, it's really, really cool looking. As you know, Persona 4 is one of my favorite games, and of course, thinking about was there any birds in Persona, and I automatically thought of that. So that was I would say if it was a tough fight or not, but in my second playthrough, I kind of dominated her. With ease, so I remember the first time I think I played on PS2, I think she rocked me a couple of times. But yeah, it's just a very quick one from me. I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening will probably agree.
So that throws it over to you, Sushi.
Oh, okay, we're really moving along here now suddenly.
Yeah.
All right, another one I have here is on the NES, and that is Plucky Duck from Tiny Toon Adventures. Were you guys?
Hold on, time. We have
Yep.
breaking news.
That's a lot of news.
Welcome to Breaking News, and I'm Dong Sniffer, and with me.
I'm Narcoleptic Nigel.
And we have some breaking news. And breaking news is the time loop has been broken by the four warriors of light. I repeat, the time loop has been broken by the four warriors of light.
With us today is an old pilgrim on a pilgrimage.
So, Sally Ho, Pilgrim, what do you have to say about this time loop being broken?
Well, this time loop and four heroes of light and time loop is broken. I tells you, it's broken.
Does this have anything to do, you think, with what's going on now? Is it you're kind of coming out of the winter time, so you should be growing crops. Do you think this will have any effect on your crops?
Well, it might have a few effects on the crops, and old Billy has passed on due to dysentery there, and I don't know. I'm hoping this season's going to be clean. I don't know if this time loop is time loop. Wait, what?
Can you tell me if what are the classes of the four heroes, and can you confirm that there is a red mage at all?
Well, from a distance, my eyes are a little bit foggy. Had a little bit too much of whiskey this morning. And looked to me like there might have been a monk and possibly a white mage. Other than that, there was a little feller in a pointy hat and a blue robe, and maybe a dusty red-haired guy, too.
I see. Did you catch the names by any chance?
Well, it could have been Ezekiel and Jeffrey, good old Jabo, and I didn't quite catch the name of that little feller there in the pointy hat.
I see. And what are your future plans now that the time loop has been broken? I feel sorry. My condolences go out for Billy, but what are your future plans?
Well, we're gonna have to see how the season takes care of itself here, and I think I'm gonna have to be hitting them bottles of whiskey once more.
Can you tell me if the four heroes of light have any cures for sleep? Like, sure can use it.
Eh? What's that there, boy? What'd you say?
Well, there you have it. The four warriors of light have broken the time loop. And we will return you to your regularly scheduled program, Avian, the Other Yellow Fever. Thanks for listening. I'm Dong Sniffa.
Oh, I'm Narcoleptic Nigel.
And this is breaking news.
Plucky Duck from Tiny Toon Adventures. Is that something you guys ever watched on TV or?
Yes, it was that. That was my era. I love Tiny Toons and Looney Tunes. That was what I grew up with. I wasn't really a Disney kid, but I was a Looney Tunes kid. Like, aside from games, I think all I did was just watch VHS. I remember directly, I told everyone on the podcast and my videos that every Friday I would always get a video game. But in my younger days, it was either a Looney Tunes video or a video game. It was one of the two. So I definitely got into Tiny Toons. Actually, it was on the Mega Drive, the Tiny Toons Adventure by Konami. That's a really good platformer.
Buster's Treasure Hunt or whatever it was called,
yes,
or something?
Yes, that's it. Oh, man. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's really good. It's probably one of my favorite platformers on the Mega Drive.
Now, I've seen the cartoon, but Plucky Duck, is that the green duck?
Yeah, he's pretty much like Daffy, you know, just sarcastic and annoyed by everything. And essentially, they're just mini versions of the, you know, the older characters. But anyways, in the game, you're supposed to start as Buster. He's the blue bunny, if you're just kind of remembering what they look like. And it's just a basic kind of platformer. A good one, though, a really solid game for the NES. And there are these sort of star balloon things that you can acquire during the game, and you're allowed to change your character into one of the three other Tiny Toon characters, and Plucky Duck is one of them. And there's Furball the cat and Hampton the pig, if I remember. I don't remember Hampton being useful at all, because he doesn't. I don't know if he had any skills. I don't remember, but I know Furball could kind of attach himself to walls, like he could connect to walls and not slide down. And then Plucky had this sort of slight flying ability that kind of let him glide a little bit, so he wouldn't fall into pits very quickly. And he was a little bit easier to control than the other characters as a result when he came to jumping. And he was also the best swimmer. So, you know, the swimming parts were a little frustrating if you were Buster, because he was just all floppy and he wouldn't move very well. And Plucky just could zip along really fast. And it's a really cool game. I mean, this is a game that I remember renting as a kid. It was one of the few games I did get to rent as a kid. I really liked it, but it was really hard. It was one of those NES games that, you know, it should have been easier for kids to play, but it wasn't. It was quite challenging.
I think that was the case with most licensed games. It's like, oh, they're like this, and, you know, they'd persevere because it's their favorite characters they wanted to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between watching an episode is they didn't have any issues. They could just watch it. But with games, you know, they had to persevere if they wanted to see the ending, what happened to their favorite characters.
Right. So. But luckily, this game was good, though, too. It wasn't just hard and shitty. It was hard and good. So it's a game that you can play now, and it's still pretty enjoyable because of the challenge.
Okay.
But yeah, so Plucky Duck is probably the best character in the game, I'd say. Oh, sorry, it's not Hampton. It's Dizzy Devil. Dizzy Devil is the other character, because he could do the stupid Tasmanian Devil spin move, where he just spins like a psycho, and then he like gets dizzy, and then he can't do anything for like a second.
I have to ask, is Mighty Max in there? Maximilian, because I hope you get
Anna
the smacking. Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I said Mighty Max.
He's like the last guy, I think. I never
did
it again, so.
Oh, good, because I want to smack the shit out of him.
Yeah, he was a great villain, though. Like, he was just this character everyone hated. They did a really good job of making a really
character. I don't know why I said Mighty Max. That's a completely different 90s.
Yeah. Mighty Max.
Mighty Max.
Little pocket toys.
Yes, I had them. They were awesome. Because I saw them as a dungeon in your hand, you know, playing all these RPGs, beginning to play all these RPGs, and then what comes down the toy market? These little faces that open up to be dungeons is glorious. Especially the Cyclops one.
Skull one, yeah. There's like a skull one with like an eye or something, I remember.
I didn't really care for those toys. I think I had one of them, and I thought they were kind of stupid. So I was
I
like, I'll
agree. I
just.
thought they were stupid. I didn't even own one of them. I just remember seeing them.
Well, like, because they just felt so. I don't know. They felt very like I had tons of Legos as a kid, and so yeah, I could just build my own kind of random Legoland, Lego castle kind of stuff. And hey, those things were just so tiny, and they just. I don't know. It just like you couldn't really. Was there like you had a thing where you could just move the character to and fro? Was there one that was like it was kind of on like a wheel, like, or there was something like you could move around and then you kind of hop the little Mighty Max character. I don't know. It's just I had one and I never played with it. I was like, this is, and I never watched the cartoon either. I thought it was just a, I never really cared for it. I was like, ah, no, thank you. So.
I think the last syndication cartoon I watched was Bucky O'Hare. And
Yeah, well.
that was kind of the end of my generation as a kid before I just launched directly into video games and just video games.
I like Bucky O'Hare, except for my favorite character was that gorilla dude that would go crazy when he saw toads, but he was never on the show. He would like show up once, and then I was like, why don't they just use that guy every time? He destroys everything. He was like the Hulk, basically. And he would come on and he would be like toads and he would go crazy. And then he would just disappear for the rest of the series. I'm like, what the hell happened to the monkey guy? I don't know what his name was, but
And
there's
I've never
another
seen
good
Bucky
NES
O'Hare.
game. There's another good NES game. And there's another bird in that with Deadeye Duck.
Yeah, that's true.
I have no idea what you're talking
We're talking about Micro Machines.
Micro Machines man here with
Oh, yeah, no,
the
I have never watched Bucky O'Hare. I don't know anything about
Yeah, well, it wasn't super popular because I think it was from the UK. Is that right, Greg?
Oh, I
Think it
know.
started as a UK comic book, I think, and then they tried to franchise it because they were like, well, Ninja Turtles are popular,
Yeah, that was the
anamorphic
whole premise.
animals, and I think that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose, and it's blatantly obvious, so.
Yeah, it was like Star Wars and Ninja Turtles put together, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting concept, but didn't go too far. But
Not hard.
I'm sure the guy made lots of money. The guy who made it, I'm sure he made, you know. Micro Machines, bring those back. I like Micro Machines.
Don't get me started, microchips. All right, back
So
over to Taylor.
that's me, and this was a comic book, and this was an easy licensed game, and I'm going to go with Scrooge McDuck.
And how convenient to on this episode, because I was going to bring it up too.
No.
Yeah, remastered DuckTales game. Woo, doo, 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 doo. And I, Sushi and I have kind of talked a little bit about it.
A little.
A little bit.
I
I
talked
don't
about how
know.
much I hate DuckTales.
Like the comics are really interesting.
Oh no, the comics are amazing. The TV show sucked ass. I thought the
Yeah.
TV show was crap.
See, I have not watched the show in forever, so I watched it as a kid, so it probably does suck ass. But
The
I
comics
have
are
read,
still good, though. That's the thing. The
yeah, the
comics are still
comics are
interesting.
really good. I like Scrooge because he's a greedy motherfucker,
Yeah.
And he's Scottish.
and he's Scottish,
Oh, Scottish.
and he likes his money, and he you can understand what he says, unlike the annoying triplets. And Donald Duck, I don't mind, but whatever. But Scrooge
Donald.
McDuck, yeah. Launchpad was okay. I didn't mind, even though
That's
he
okay,
was dumb as a box of rocks. He
yeah.
was all right. And Gizmo, is Gizmo the?
The robot dude.
Well, I can't remember the scientist's name. I don't have
Oh
his name.
yeah, I don't know. What was the robot dude's name?
Well, it's
Remember the
something. It's a
one wheel?
giz. Yeah, it's Gizmo or something. Like he either the Gizmo's the name of the robot or the name of the scientist. I don't
Scientist.
quite remember
Yeah,
it.
I don't remember.
And then you know had what was it? Cruella de. Is that what the.
Cruella De Vil is from
Or is that
101
101
Dalmatians.
Dalmatians.
That's okay. Then what's the one? The one witch
I
duck.
don't know.
What the hell's her name?
Magicka or something or something.
Something. I don't remember.
It comes to my memory of, hey, it's really cool they're remaking the game, but I only remember watching DuckTales and the theme song, and that's how far my memory goes.
That theme song is pretty catchy. As stupid as it is, it's incredibly catchy song. But and then
It's
the game had really good music too. Like I
yeah,
did
no, the
you
game was
guys
good.
play the second one much?
You know, the second one is like impossible to find. And if you want to buy it, it's probably going on eBay for, I wouldn't be surprised. A card only is probably $100 or more. It's like Rescue Rangers 2 as well. Another game that came out really late in the NES's life. Most people didn't even know existed. And then people bought it up.
I've played a little bit of the second. I don't like the second one as much as the first one. I don't know if it's just because I have more fond memories of the first one.
Didn't the second one have like a bearded Scotsman that was trying to chase him down or something?
Well, his sort of rival?
Yeah,
yeah, like, it's his rival. I can't remember what the hell.
Didn't he have bagpipes?
Yeah. But I think he pops up in the first one too, I thought.
He could. I don't recall.
I don't think you really do anything. He just... Doesn't he like pop up in that chase scene at the end?
I don't remember, in the first game.
But
I haven't played it in a while. So.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. But yeah,
it's being remade for a reason, though, right? I mean, it is an excellent game.
I will be honest, though, as much as it's a nice announcement, I think it's overshadowed by Dungeons & Dragons, Tower of Moon, and Shadows of the Soul.
I don't think so, Greg. I don't think that many people remember Dungeons & Dragons. It was one of those... Well, yeah, or played it, because it was not a common game in the arcade. It was hard to find.
I was just one of those lucky people that got to play it once. And now I've got, you know, been looking forward to finishing it off. So,
well, both are big announcements from Capcom, to be sure. I mean, I know, Taylor, you're not too happy about Capcom and haven't been for a while. At least this is starting to show that they seem to be trying to get on the right track. We'll see if they put that DRM on it, though, then people will be pissed. So
DRM.
It basically means like you got to be online all the time so they can check. Like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's really a pain in the ass, mostly for consumers, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
They did it with Final Fight, and that really sucked.
Didn't that kind of ruin it for you?
Yeah, well, I remember I didn't know. Like, I bought it, and then I was trying to play Final Fight, and I decided not to hook up my, you know, my PS3. I was just like, whatever, I'm not connected to the internet. I'm not going to sign in.
It's Final fucking Fight.
Yeah, well, it's like, what the hell does it need to be signed in for?
It's funny, because I own the collection on the PSP. I mean, seriously, you can just boot it up on that, and it's in the palm of your hands.
I don't know what the problem was, right? Like, it just was so stupid, so... Hopefully they don't do that with DuckTales. I think they might try to do it with Dungeons & Dragons, though.
Ooh.
Well, we'll find out. They didn't mention anything about it. They might not say anything until just before the release. They might not say anything until after the release.
Surprise, cockbags.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. No.
But we were talking about DuckTales there.
Yeah, but yeah, DuckTales, awesome game. I love lots of the music from that. Of course the moon gets brought up, but I mean even some of the other stages.
Jungle
have some
is
really,
pretty good.
Yeah, the jungle, that one comes to mind. That's
I like
really,
the snow stage a lot.
Not
the music, but I like the
stage.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, yeah. The music I don't quite remember, but the stage is a lot of fun, just because it's just snow, good old snow.
Mm.
Definitely. It's nice to see that they're doing that, even though I'm still hairy eyed towards them. So. But Greg, over to you.
And I will apologize to all DuckTales fans. I'm sorry. I really don't like DuckTales. I love the comics. I really hate
The people. Comics are great. Definitely, if you can find a way to read them, definitely check them out.
Yes.
Really interesting. Really interesting, and a lot more in depth. A lot more.
It's essentially
more brain.
One man. So.
Right. A lot more brain power into them. So.
Yeah.
And it.
Most famous scene of Indiana Jones is from DuckTales.
Yeah, that is true.
Or just, you know, the Scrooge McDuck comics or whatever.
Right.
Uncle Scrooge, I guess. Not necessarily Scrooge. DuckTales. Uncle Scrooge. But... Sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, Greg, go.
Anyway, I think I might rapid fire the rest of the list I had, and I'll go into a little tiny bit more detail with some of them. But very quickly, the Final Fantasy Southerns, you've got, you know, the Phoenix and Quetzalcoatl from Final Fantasy VIII. And, of course, Phoenix is the most cheap summon in FF7 because you'd instantly revive all your characters. So if you have Final Attack and Phoenix, you pretty much can't die in the game. One of the cheapest ones, but yeah, pretty cool. The other one, I might have guessed Taylor might have this, is Carver Kalos from E7, who's the bird boss. Pretty cool battle.
I didn't put him on there. I didn't quite think about him.
I said to myself, I got to put at least one East bird, which was very, very difficult. But I was like,
put,
yeah, they were.
It put the harpies in there. That
I was very close to.
Yeah, like... yeah, rip your hair out.
So that was on my mind very quickly. Fubar and Sergeant Joe from Suikoden 3. Fubar, yes, that is the character's name, is the pet griffin. It's very odd to have your griffin's name fucked up beyond recognition. But Sergeant Joe is this very oddly duck-like character with like a fish halberd, very comical. And then, very quickly, Sage Jock from Secret of Mana. I had to do a second take whether he was a bird or not, but I thought he was. He's a crafty little devil. The legendary birds from Pokemon. Just birds and Pokemon. I'm not going to go into it. I refuse to get into it. I'm just going to let people know that there is birds and Pokemon, and there's a lot of them. Something just quickly bring up, I mentioned in a previous episode, of course, Alien Soldier, and of course the character's name is Epsilon Eagle, very cool name, very cool, and of course, Sushi sort of compared him to Falco from Star Fox, that's another one.
Right.
Another one that I thought outside the box for this one, you may agree or disagree, and that's the Chozo from Murtroid. You know, bird-like ancient beings.
But you don't...
You don't see them, I know.
I was going to say, you don't really see them, but yeah, they do describe them as bird-like, so...
Yeah. So I just thought I'd mention that very briefly. But here's the last two I will describe in just a slightly more detail, and I think Taylor might get a chuckle out of this one. From Mystic Quest Legend, and that is Pazuzu.
That's my last one. Yes.
Then let's get into it. He's probably the coolest looking boss in the game.
he's pretty cool. Like his, because you're going through that tower, and that tower is such a pain. In the ass.
Yes.
And you're finally like you're getting really close to the end because it's the wind section of the game, and you're trying to fill the lake back up and everything. And
And the fact is, you're playing it as the best piece of music in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you finally get to the top of the tower and everything, and you're just like, "All right, dude, I got Doom Tower waiting for me. Your ass is totally, you're getting it. You are totally."
And I just like how the boss fights has those single frame animations to tell you how far you're into defeating the boss, and he'd be like. You know, like the second form, people like popping and popping, and then the third form, he's like on the ground on his legs, and the fourth form, he's got his wings covering him.
Yeah. He goes into full, oh, I'm so screwed mode.
Nah, they're very, very cool. Best looking boss, most memorable boss fight outside of Doom Tower. So, yeah, that was my say. And the last one, and this should not come as a surprise to anyone, and that is Porkman. From Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. Very memorable because he's very cool. He flies around, and you can... It's really cool because not only does he fly around, but you can stab someone mid-air, and he falls back down, and you fly again. I thought he was a fitting final form before you fought the final boss. That final stretch in Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap is just all kinds of awesome. And that's kind of why I would probably pick him as the last choice, because he's awesome. great design. I like the fact he's all red and he's a little sword and shield.
So yeah, then Sushi, I guess over to you.
All right, I will rapid fire these off too. One of my favorites that I remember not really really well, but well enough, and that is Sky from Grandia 2.
Oh, nice.
I know you won't know this one, Taylor, because I know you haven't had a opportunity to play the game, but basically Sky is the right hand man of Ryudo, and he basically is the voice of reason. Ryudo is kind of like he's very arrogant and very self-obsessed and very self-assured, thinks that nothing could ever go wrong, and you know, doesn't believe that anything outside of his vision or his thought is possible or even a good thing. And Sky's really like a father figure almost to him, even though he shouldn't be, but he sort of is, and he's the guiding light to him in a lot of ways. And he's a really cool character. You don't really get to play, well, you don't play him as him as at all, but I guess the most unfortunate thing is he sort of disappears as the game starts to go on. Like, Ryudo starts to open up, so he doesn't really need Sky there to be a voice for him anymore, which kind of sucks. So Sky just disappears, and then he just suddenly there at the end of the game kind of thing. But I really like the design of him. He's a really cool looking, I guess he's a falcon?
Actually, he reminds me a bit of Sieg from Sora no Kiseki, in a way. Sort of, I don't know, just compare the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, very good choice. I really like Sky, and I, because Grandia 2 is probably one of my more favorite RPGs of that era, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sky's a really cool character.
It blows my mind, though, that it had lots of the voice cast from Metal Gear Solid in that game.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird.
I can't remember if it was Sky voiced by the guy who did Colonel Campbell. I think he was.
I'm not sure like who did.
Can't remember who was because I know Ryota was voiced by Cam Park, who did Liquid Snake. So
and Leonardo.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm not sure who did Sky, and I'm not really sure on that. Or who did? Well, my favorite character in that game is actually Merrig, but I don't know who did his voice either. But anyways, that's so Sky. And the final ones here are getting giant double middle fingers from me and a big good old-fashioned fuck you. And that is going to be those fucking birds in Bayou Billy, the fucking red birds in Wizards and Warriors, the fucking owl things in House of the Dead, and, of course, the fucking lovely Hawk, Falcon, Eagle pieces of shit in Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, goodness.
And I'll put a little asterisk at the bottom for the fucking ducks in Duck Hunt.
Oh, man, I can't believe you brought up the fucking red birds and Wizards and Warriors. Oh, my God.
And then you have to hear that stupid death music. Do-do-do-do. Do, 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 do. And you're like, come on, I just need a piece of health in the final. And then you die, and the guy quivers, he shakes, and then his leg dangles.
I'd say another one to add with the double middle fingers one would be the birds that drop the Fleeman in Castlevania.
But just a little funny thing before the podcast, that's on my list too, good sir. And apparently there was someone in the interwebs that got fed up with Castlevania birds and made a song about them.
Jesus.
It's really bad, but it's so good. Because it says the truth.
Big double middle fingers to those and all other NES birds that suck ass. Like the stupid birds in Mega Man 2 that drop those stupid eggs that have 1,000 other birds inside of them.
Oh, yeah. So, birds. Love them or hate them. They're in games.
So. One awesome bird, though, is the bird that's that flaming phoenix on the cover of Thunder Force 3. That bird's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes that box art just so great.
Another slightly less of a middle finger is the Thunderbird from Zelda 2. I don't know if you remember that. It's right before.
Yeah.
Shadow Link.
Or Shadow Link.
Kind of a pain in the ass. Not that much of a pain in the ass. Kind of.
It was a weird design. I had to do a double take. Like, is that a bird?
Yeah. You're not quite sure what the hell it is. Allegedly, it's a Thunderbird, but... yeah. So, yeah, if guys have any other birds that you can think of, definitely let us know.
And very quickly, one verse four, Taylor's going to throw out the birds in Terradigma. The bird paradise. Awesome place.
Yeah. Hop on, fly around. But yeah, definitely, if you guys have any other birds that you can think of, let us know whether you hate them or you really thought they were cool or what have you. Definitely missed a lot. I know there's quite a few out there.
Yeah.
I've probably missed, so.
Overdrive ostrich.
Or the joust birds or some shit.
Yeah, or whatever they are.
I think they're kind of like ostrich.
I guess it's an ostrich. Yeah.
So, yeah.
At least they're not as messy as the seagulls in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Just, yeah, all over the place. But yeah, so what do you guys feel up to doing?
Let's do a gag reel.
A dag reel?
get one of those lists out there for doing some improv.
Improve. Greg, give me a number 1, 2, or 3.
2. 2
worst goodbyes.
Worst goodbyes.
Yeah. So worst goodbyes.
I mean, there's just the classic game over. Yeah.
That's it's not a pretty goodbye, bad. Though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you can say that about all game overs.
Yeah, but do it. Most game overs talk to you when you finish the game. No.
And it's such a happy tune. I'm going to miss those tits.
Is that Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball?
No, it's not. I was thinking more of Ninja Gaiden's, that chicks. Oh.
Well, that's the same guy, same creator, basically. So.
I'm going now because I'm not real. That was a jab at FF10. Oh, dear.
Fend for thyself, baby Mario.
You can stay on the moon, jerk. Nobody loves you anyways.
The zombies are coming! The zombies are coming! The zombies are here.
Ooh, free chili dogs, Tails! Sorry, I got to go. My princess is in another castle.
Tia, you're nice and all. And you'll probably put out. But there's a smoking hot chick waiting. Just in the next town. Change it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might all even right. Just... okay,
that's a tough one.
2 here. You have 1 or 2 to choose from. Sushi.
Now let's go 1.
No, 1?
Yeah. That didn't sound too... Well, 1? And 2?
Well, 1 is... 1 is kind of in the same vein as 2, so... As the last
the lat.
Oh,
now you're just confusing me. So.
One is kind of
Wait,
in the same.
Let's try 2.
Okay, 2. 2 is okay. 2 is the number of words to describe a game or series.
2 words to describe a game or series.
Number of words. So let's go with a number. Let's say.
Oh, okay. Don't make it too many. 1 word.
1 word.
1 word.
What
now, somebody's going to have to say a bunch of games then. Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it? Or
okay, I can say some games.
Sure.
All right.
Greg
okay.
And I. Okay.
Okay, and then we can go. Say, okay, all right. Donkey Kong Country.
1 word or 2?
1 word.
Nuts. I can't
Cots.
Eat Mickey's nuts.
Cots.
That's you, Taylor.
Oh, I get to okay. So okay, I didn't.
Yeah, you said, I, we just I guess
oh, I didn't know
a bunch,
if you,
and then okay. Maybe we'll hand it off after say 10 games.
Okay,
you say 10, and I'll go and Greg.
Let's see. Funky.
Wait, what?
Can you funky. Repeat that?
Funky.
Is that a game, or are you?
Explaining? I thought you wanted me to mention more fun. Jesus Christ. Saying my turn. Did you want me to mention another game then?
You are supposed to only say 10 games, and then one of us will take.
I will no, because we didn't ever discuss any rules to it.
Calm down. Vein on your forehead is throbbing again. Have a nice shot of Bailey's.
Okay. All right. Okay. Super Metroid.
Hate it.
That's not fucking. That's 1 word. 1 word!
Then I'll use it.
Okay. Screw.
All right.
I can't say screw attack, so...
Okay, all right. Metal Gear, solid.
Legend.
Colonel.
1,000 arms.
Perverted.
Shit, I haven't played it.
That's not one word! One word!
Unplayed, then.
Silent Hill.
Spooky.
Oh, foggy.
Blue Bomber Mega Man.
Difficult.
Tank.
Okay.
There's so many two words that I want to fucking say.
One word. Sonic.
Zone.
Rings.
Last one. Gran Turismo.
Generic.
Gears.
Okay, all right. Sushi, over to you.
All right, let's go with... Do you want to stick with one word or two? Do you want to up it
no,
a
bit? Yes, no, one word. One word.
Okay, one word, sure.
One word.
Katamari Damashi.
Sticky.
Addicting.
Sticky addicting. <Ooh. laughs> Super Mario Brothers 3.
Warp.
Boing.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Jiggle.
Boing.
Castlevania.
Cross.
Fuck.
Actually, you know what? That's legit. Because that's the reaction of anyone who plays it.
Chrono Trigger.
Magus.
Silbird.
Tales of Phantasia.
Sucks.
Amazing!
I actually don't know how many I've thrown out there. Maybe. Six or seven, maybe?
Six or seven?
Something like that. I'll keep track. I'll just do three or four more. House of the Dead.
Slimy.
Laughable.
Sega.
Recovering. Slightly.
What was yours, Taylor?
Sucks.
Taylor.
I'm not a game.
The game.
Can't play me, bitch. I'm not a game.
That's not what that last girl told me.
I'm dying.
All right, I'll take just two more, and I will put. Taylor hasn't played that game, so I'm not going to use that one.
Do it anyways, okay.
Let's do Ease.
Bump.
Harpies.
Bump harpies, ooh.
Well,
boing. Yeah. Yeah, and the last one is Data East.
That's not a game!
I use Sega.
That wasn't a game either. I was thinking of like the.
I want your one word opinion on Data East.
Karnov.
That's what I was going to say. It's Karnov. That's the answer.
Bankrupt.
It's either Karnov or Legend. It's one or the other.
And if it's two words, it's Victornado. Possibly the worst.
Two words. Metal Max.
Yeah, it's well, Dorn Mac. All right. Why don't you throw a few in there, Greg?
All right, cool. Here's a few easy ones to get started. Final Fantasy.
Sucks.
Which one?
All.
Oh.
Overdone.
All right. Street Fighter.
Shit.
Street Fighter. This is one I want to use two words for.
I got one. Thighs.
I got one to back that up. Zangief.
Dear. Ghouls and Ghosts.
Punishing.
Naked. Yep.
Getting punished naked.
Yes, both acceptable. Alrighty. Mario Kart.
Bananas.
Yeah, I can't use two words, I guess, can I? Question mark? It's two words.
Two words! One word!
Fine. Fuck.
Is that the
I want to
sound?
use rubber band because I hate the rubber band aspect.
You know,
Say AI then.
it is your fuck reaction to Rainbow Road, because that was
No,
my
mine
reaction.
is to 5-year-old kids who can pick up the game and beat my ass at it because it's got the stupid rubber band on it.
Grow some talent, Sushi Jews.
Yeah. I've had just about enough of you today, Taylor. You better be ready this TGS. You're gonna see me with a big pipe.
You're gonna lay some pipe down?
Hey, just keep that thing to yourself.
Yeah, it's normally they don't allow me to get through customs, but this time they'll let me go through. They're not even gonna make me drop my pants this time.
Alrighty. A few more. Sparkster.
Huh?
Rocket Knight Adventures, if I
Rocket Knight
mentioned.
Adventures. But there was also Sparkster in North America too.
Yeah.
Fun.
Huh?
Let's see, what else? What else can I do? Nino Kuni.
I'd like to use two words, but they're contrasting each other. But I will use pleasant.
Overrated.
Ooh. And with that, dear listeners, we're going to have to beat you off with a stick after that last
I
comment.
can see where Taylor's going with it. I think that it's a good game, but it's a bandwagon game for sure too.
Well, I can give some honest thoughts about towards the end as well, but you know, it wasn't a bad game.
I didn't say it was a bad game.
I
I
know,
didn't say, I just say it's not the game of the generation.
No, I know. It'd be interesting to know what people think of it a year's time. I always like when that happens.
I think it'll be somewhat forgotten, actually.
I kind of agree with that. I think after the swell of it, heck, I don't even really hear much about it now.
Yeah, well, that's like
I
every game that after 2 months everyone forgets about it, though, right?
So.
Anyway, I will do one more.
No,
And
sir, you have four more. I'm counting. You have
Oh, okay.
four more.
You need to do 10.
Bugger. Booger,
Booger
booger
Man?
booger booger booger.
Flick.
Boogerman,
yeah, there we go. Booger man.
Blarg.
Earthworm Jim. I've never played it.
It's not a bad platforming game. This is one of the last games on the main drum. Well, it was on everything, so yeah. All right, second last one. Oh dear. Here's a weird one. James Pond.
Quack.
Yeah, nothing. I haven't played it, so.
Nor have
I would accept RoboCod, even though it is actually one word. Yeah. Alrighty, my last one. And you know, we already touched upon this, but one word, Landstalker.
Bathtub.
Ribbon.
Well done. You win the bonus points.
Taylor or me?
You both make good ones. But sushi's, oh man. Go watch my first video where I make a really cool point about the transition, the localization, how they had to change it to the ribbon, which is more harmless than what it originally was.
A useless object in the game, even.
I mean, seriously, you know, as with all the damsels in distress, that's one damsel that can stay in distress, to be perfectly honest.
Oh goodness. So
We should
yeah.
keep that one in rotation. I have an idea for that. I'll tell you guys off air for that one.
Woohoo, you'll never hear it, people of the internet. Ha
Until we decide to do it again.
ha ha. I know, I'm being stupid. So yeah, tell us how bad we are and how unfunny we are and stuff. Please. Bye. No,
Tell us how we need to rely on scripts and well-versed. And how we are struggling to do it on the fly, I admit. 110%.
That's all right. But
That is
thank
half the fun. That's half the fun.
Exactly. So thanks for listening, guys. If you definitely have any comments and whatnot, we have the comments. If you're listening to us on YouTube, comment down below. There's also links to forum. You can make comments and make fun of us there. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, and have a good day.